Happy Thanksgiving, my fellow Americans, and by Happy Thanksgiving, I mean, please grasp onto whatever you can to be grateful for this year since 2020 has been such a dumpster fire. And also, let's take the time to do some research and, I don't know, maybe educate ourselves a little further on the indigenous people who were here long before we were. Because we should respect other cultures, and their culture was here first. I don't know, I feel like that's appropriate because, you know, the whole picture of Thanksgiving is the pilgrims and the natives serving a giant turkey and eating pumpkin pie together, which is highly inaccurate. Oh, and happy birthday to my favorite co-host slash only co-host slash human that is tethered to me legally and spiritually until one of us dies.
Yay!
Aaron's birthday Saturday, so please leave him a kind word or two over on our Instagram. You can find us on Crime and Theory Pod, well, at Crime and Theory Pod, over there. And I just want to say that this human is patient and kind and super supportive. And I know men as a whole catch a lot of flack, but Aaron is one of those people that has broken the mold as far as men go. So please go give him some extra love.
Aww.
Because he's getting old, guys.
I am getting old.
I mean, next thing you know, he's going to be...
going to be all grumpy.
He's going to be all hunched over and wrinkly and...
The gray hair's already coming in.
The gray hairs have been coming in for the last 9 years. 10 years. You were really young when you started going gray.
Yeah, I think I have my father's hair genetics.
No excuses. I have a side of the family with a member who went completely white hair by the time he was 17? 16? 17? And I don't have that many grays.
But
so no excuses.
I think I'm doing a little bit more better than he was. Like, I want to say his hair was salt and pepper.
Ooh.
Colored. Hello. By the time he was 30.
Oh, see? And look, you're 32.
Yeah. I got some hair color.
You've still got a good bit of your hair color, yeah. Still. You're just kind of going gray around the temples. It's very distinguished. But welcome back. And if you're here for the first time, welcome to Crime and Theory, a podcast dedicated to everything outside the parameters of normal. We are your hosts, Ashley.
And Aaron.
And since it's Thanksgiving, that means you might be sitting at a table with relatives that you don't necessarily get along with or even like, and you might need a good escape. So we are here providing you a stress-free episode per Aaron's request.
Yeah, it's a perfect time to listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
If you're where you don't want to be, you don't want to hear people.
Just listen to us. Yeah. Just come hang out.
Your favorite human beings.
Aw. We're beans.
Yeah.
So, no harm against our fellow real humans will be discussed in this episode because we know your pumpkin pie, or in our case, pumpkin cheesecake, is probably being devoured right now. And you want it to set well on your tummy. But we might actually discuss a little bit of harm against fictional humans, so we hope you're okay with that. Because this week, we're covering a few creations by Canadian horror artist. First of all, we're talking about a Canadian during an American holiday. It feels fitting. I don't know why. It's bizarre. Let's go with it. But we're talking about Trevor Henderson. Let's get started. All sources for today are trevor-henderson-database.fandom.com, at Slimy Swamp Ghost on Twitter, which is Trevor Henderson's account.
Oh, that's
cool. I know, I love it. Slimy Swamp Ghost. trevor-henderson-inspiration.fandom.com, villains.fandom.com. There's a lot of fandom happening here today. The Infographic Show, Billy Styler, and The Last Bacon on YouTube. All three of those. Yes, The Last Bacon.
That's pretty cool.
But it's a lie because they forgot Kevin Bacon. How dare you?
How was he the first bacon?
Sir Francis Bacon was probably the first bacon, you know, that we personally acknowledge. I don't know if we should acknowledge him. It's just the oldest name.
Did he invent bacon?
I don't think that's how that works. Okay, Aaron.
Ashley.
My dear, I let you pick today's topic.
Yes.
So that's why we're talking about Trevor Henderson. But specifically, you picked Siren Head and Cartoon Cat, correct?
Yes.
Cool. So what I thought we would do is talk about them separately.
Okay.
Talk about the best way to defeat or survive them, and then discuss who would win if they were pitted against each other.
Like a death battle.
Yeah. Then, just for funsies, I'm going to tell you about my personal favorite creation, because it's like a Junji Ito and Hot Cheeto-fueled nightmare, and I know how you feel about Junji Ito.
I love Junji Ito's art style.
And, I mean, the images online look up that alley. Maybe like Junji Ito adjacent? Ooh. Yeah, no. And that one's relatively short, so we'll just tack that on at the end. Sound like a plan?
Love it.
Okay. First up is your first choice, the ever-beloved Siren Head. Contrary to popular belief, Siren Head is not an SCP, but side note, we do still plan on covering some SCPs in a later episode. No worries there. And Siren Head first appeared in August of 2018. It's probably the most stomach-churning out of the two to look at. Well, I mean, at least at a distance. And I know beauty's in the eye of the beholder and whatnot, but it's literally a 40-foot-tall humanoid from the neck down covered in what looks like rusted metal, but it's actually mummified flesh. So I'm going to say that's pretty gross.
So that's what it is. I was wondering what his body was made out of.
Yeah, mummified flesh.
Wow.
I know. Its head, obviously, just by looking at it, you can tell, is made of giant siren slash speakers. And those speakers are held up by a large piece of wood where a neck should be. Not only does it appear to be mummified, it looks super malnourished, and its arms and legs are weirdly disproportionate to its body. I mean, its arms literally almost reach the ground, which does not sound proportionate to me at all.
That's some super lanky arms.
You're right.
Would you think he'd kind of carry himself like a gorilla?
Well, I mean, I'll get to that. Because it can run on all fours.
What?
Mm-hmm. Its height actually does make sense because it's about the height of a telephone pole, which helps it blend into rural areas where telephone poles are found and in the forest where it can blend in amongst the trees. And like I said, it's about 40 feet tall.
Good lord.
It's very big. Different images will show it with different siren arrangements, but it has not been confirmed as to whether it's all the same siren head in every image or if they're different members of the same monstrous species. But if it is the same creature, then it can change its head arrangements to probably better hide, because speakers are not typically found in a forest. And honestly, it might even change in order to assist it in projecting what it projects in a desired direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But that would be pretty cool if there were an abundance of different siren heads instead of just the one.
Only you would think of impending death as a cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also cool if it was just one and he could just morph his head into different attachments.
Well, it's not different attachments per se, it's just the arrangement of the sirens that form its head. But I do think the number of speakers does change. And just so you know, the speakers are the only metal thing on its body. So even though its skin does look rusted, there's no metal in the mummified flesh.
Okay.
And if you look closely in its chest and abdomen, you can see wires pressed against the skin, I think under the skin. And apparently these wires writhe when Siren Head is agitated. So it's like electrical snakes.
Ew. That's cool.
That's gross. There are two types of people, folks. Siren Head is predatory and uses deception to confuse and disorient its prey. Now, it's not exactly clear if it's granted sustenance from the people it kills. Just throwing that in there. But it does kill. It hunts people by, typically anyway, hiding in forests to spot a person. And when it locks onto its prey, Siren Head will stand absolutely still to blend in. You cannot tell that it is any different than the trees that surround it. It's been known to stand completely still for days at a time. But when it's ready to spring, it will quickly sprint toward its target, pick it up, and... well, all we know for sure is that people just disappear without a trace. None of its victims have survived to tell what it does exactly. But can it eat its victims? Well, I mean, I suppose it could, considering that its speakers have mouths. And not happy little smiley mouths, either, that you would think of in a cartoon. No, they're horrifying, fleshy, gaping things with big teeth. And if the Siren Head games are considered canon with Henderson's original creation, we can safely assume that it may not consume its victims for sustenance after all, because in some of the games, you can see some of its victims. Their corpses can be found.
So it just kills for... is that's the phrase I'm looking for. Thrill kills. It just kills to because it can.
For sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But that's if the games are canon.
Right.
Now, Henderson didn't make any of the games himself, so we don't really know.
Right.
See, Trevor Henderson's pretty clever. What he'll do is he'll create something. He'll give some very specific details, but leave a lot of vague openings for fans to theorize with. And then the fans just kind of take it and run with it.
He just gives you just enough.
Exactly. He lays down the foundation and he lets the fans build on it.
That is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know Trevor Henderson personally, obviously, but maybe he has kind of the mentality of sometimes the scariest things are the things you don't know everything about.
Yeah. Like the fear of the unknown. Like, what is this thing capable of?
Right.
And that would make sense, too, because I want to say I've seen a photo, at least I think a photo or some other instance where Siren Head, his head wasn't the sirens. It was like a lamppost and he's like hiding out on the street.
That makes sense if you did see one because it has been known to hide in suburban areas.
Ah, so it goes street lamp mode.
Right. Or it could be a completely different Siren Head, like we said.
Valid. Also cool.
So, the question is, how does it disorient its prey? Well, by using its speakers. And the sounds are typically random, from strange music to odd pieces of conversation to words and numbers shouted in angry voices. When Trevor first shared his creation with the world, this story was attached. It read, quote, "She was on vacation with her husband, and they were scoping out graveyards on the way, as you do, when she saw it." I'm going to stop right there. Who scopes out graveyards on a road trip? Or on vacation? I need to start doing that.
This they're the kind of people that want to collect, was it grave rubbings?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they wanted to take grave rubbings, but I don't know. Maybe they hold seances in cemeteries. I don't know their life. The story continues. Rising out of the old cemetery, big as an old macabre telephone pole. Was this some kind of bizarre art piece the authorities hadn't gotten wise to yet? Even as she stepped out of the car, the megaphones on its quote-unquote head screeched to life. Quote,
9, 18. 1. Child. 17. Remove. Vial.
End quote. A buzzing, doubled voice screamed random words at her. At this point, it jerked into motion, striding down the hill towards her. End quote. The weirdest part to me about Siren Head is that it sleeps.
What?
And apparently you can tell when it's asleep, because it plays white noise.
So cool.
I mean, it's a good advantage to have if you're going to go up against the thing. If you hear white noise, you're like, hey, I can get the drop on it, you know? And apparently it makes other noises as well. Not when it's asleep, but awake. Yeah. It makes nuclear war announcements, amber alerts. It's been known to mimic voices of people close to itself, physically, obviously. Right. Close to itself in order to lure people toward it.
So if, say if you're a group and it somehow gets one of your friends away, it can basically mimic that person's voice and be like, hey, help me. And
well, it would be more apt to mimic one of the group to lure someone away individually because it does not do crowds. It doesn't do groups.
Right.
Which can work to your advantage if you're going to get the drop on it. And I'll get to that in a minute. But it's not apt to lure an entire group.
Right, right, right.
It may also be able to imitate local fauna in order to lull its victims into a false sense of security. So I guess that means it can imitate the sound of rabbits munching on leaves or... I don't know.
But, you know, that is a great, kind of really thinking about it, a great way for it to really blend in.
That's true.
So you don't think nothing terrible would be nearby if you hear sounds of like, oh, well, these normal everyday creatures are just, you know, chilling out. Because typically, they would be running away from danger.
So I guess like the chittering of squirrels running up a tree and such, normal forest sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Audio camo.
Yeah, that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a really good mechanism to have. And from what I read, here's how fast Siren Head is. It has a maximum speed of 24.3 miles per hour. That's when it's on two legs. However, that's not that fast. I'm just saying if you were in a vehicle and Siren Head were chasing you, you'd be fine, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously if you're on foot, then you're
screwed. Yeah, you're screwed either way. But that's when it's on two legs. When it's on all fours, it has an estimated maximum speed of 146.2 miles per hour. Then what? You're in danger.
What the crap?
You basically turn into that meme of Ralph Wiggum where he's sitting on the bus and it just says, I'm in danger, you know?
Yeah.
And since it has no eyes, it's assumed that it uses echolocation to find its way around.
That makes sense. I never really thought about until now. Like
how it would see.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, though. If it has only speakers for a head,
mm-hmm.
It has no eyes. That's right. That much is obvious. It also has no ears, though, and there's no recording device on it. So how does it hear? It also has no nose. So does it taste its victims?
That's a good question.
Inquiring minds want to know, Mr. Henderson.
Unless, I just had a thought.
Okay.
And this might sound very far-fetched.
Siren Head is a very far-fetched creature, so but I don't think we have to worry.
What if it, in a lack of better terms, what if it feels the echolocation reverberating back into its mouth?
Well, I mean, it would sense it with its body.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would be in its mouth.
Or if it could, like, taste. I don't know.
And it would probably feel the vibrations of the ground as well. But I'm talking about hearing. The local fauna and whatnot. In order to repeat these messages, wouldn't it have to be able to hear it first? So what does it do? Does it eat audio tapes and people and absorb the sounds via osmosis? What's happening?
Huh. That's
a valid question.
Yeah.
But as we already know, because we were discussing this earlier, it avoids heavily populated areas. And prefers to prey on isolated victims. And when the second image of Siren Head surfaced online, Henderson showed it lurking in someone's backyard. The caption that accompanied the photo indicated that it was behind the disappearance of a family of four in their own home. Siren Head was able to make four humans disappear without a trace, by itself. Granted, two of those family members were children.
I mean, that's pretty easy.
Right, but pickings. Four people overall, that's a lot of people. So what did he do? And how did he get them out of the house? Because, I mean, he's 40 feet tall. It's not like he fit through the doorway.
That's true.
I need to know these things.
So it's not like he smashed his hand through a window and snatched them up while they were asleep.
Right, and there were no broken windows, so that couldn't have been the case. The only thing that indicated anything was off was the fact that a patio door had been left open, and the neighbors reported that. That was literally the only thing indicating something was wrong. So how?
He must have.
Do you know who we need right now? Matthew Patrick of Game Theory. That is who we need. Because I think he could give us some answers.
Because that is a conundrum.
Yeah. How does it happen? This is more confounding than a locked room mystery.
You said the patio door was unlocked.
It was open.
It was open.
Mm-hmm.
What? I know this is going to be sound like a dumb question, but what did that lead to?
What do you mean? What room?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I'm just wondering if it was a room where...
Patios are usually off the kitchen, the living room, or the dining room. So I assume one of those three.
Because I'm just wondering if it was a room that all four family members would be in at the exact same time.
And I mean, that would make sense.
And as fast as this dude moves, I mean...
It could just reach in with one arm, grab it, and pull them out.
Yeah.
I mean, the family could be sitting down to dinner. The family could be sitting on the couch watching television together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense. Henderson then released a third image, which was of Siren Head lurking in the suburbs. So even though it avoids cities, it's not opposed to cul-de-sacs, I guess.
Oh, I don't feel safe now.
Right? It began to abduct its victims on the street outside their own homes. And a common factor in its attacks was that it was already after the street lamps had came on. So this thing typically attacks at night, and daytime seems to be pretty safe. At least in the suburbs.
Right.
But the fact that it can abduct a family of four, and we're only a family of two, plus a Magoo, we would be in danger. Legit.
God, does he eat little doggies?
I don't know. I mean, it eats children. Dogs are fuzzy children.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm not getting in an argument with people who are like, dogs aren't kids. Not everybody can have kids.
I just hope our little buddy's safe.
I mean, yeah. I would jump in front of a train for him, so if I had to come up against Siren Head and it was me or the dog, it's taken me. Done. And as to the locations that Siren Head has been seen, it has been seen everywhere. And even though Henderson first posted pictures online in 2018 of Siren Head was seen in Yellowstone National Park in 2016, and it's also been seen on a dark country lake and even in a parking lot of an unassuming motel. Literally nowhere is safe. Except for maybe New York City. Although that's not safe either because other reasons. Anybody else ever seen The Avengers? Exactly.
You right?
Nowhere is safe for various reasons. So if this thing can hunt anyone at pretty much any time, what can we as humans do to defend ourselves against it? Now, we know it knows how to isolate its prey, and it even prefers that. And we can bank on its behavior being predictable. We need to keep in mind that it's an ambush predator as well. It's a master of psychological warfare and can even play disappearance reports of its previous victims. Now, all of this is according to the infographic show via YouTube. If you don't watch the infographic show, are you even living? I'm just going to be honest. I'm addicted to that channel.
You are missing out on a lot of good stuff.
So much great information. My favorite videos are on the bubonic plague. But that's another story for another day. And here's another tidbit of information to lock away when you come up against it. Apparently, it can also play sound on any device, which can prevent you from even using your phone to call for help, because it can play sound on your phone.
So he can basically do... I can't remember the character, but it was when we were playing Rainbow Six Siege, there was someone that had an ability to hijack your phone, and it would just keep going... Bzz, 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 bzz.
Basically, it was like a hacker?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, but it doesn't hack your phone. It's not trying to gain information or figure out where you are. It's just trying to, I guess, scramble the signal.
Yeah, like disabling.
Yeah. I don't know.
Though, that would be a pretty interesting way for it to find you. If it can just make your electronic devices make noises, then
yeah.
It can just hone on.
And that might be why it does it.
Yeah.
So, here's the plan that the experts on YouTube, and by experts, I mean the infographics show, have laid out for us. It's a 3 or 4 step plan. I think only 3 steps. Maybe. We'll figure it out. But step 1, get a group together since it typically avoids groups.
Makes sense.
At least 10 people.
Small army.
Exactly. That's what I wrote. Basically, you're going to need a small army. Step 2, you're going to need equipment. And I know you might be thinking, hey, let's stock up on guns. Let's get some rifles or machine guns. But leave those at home. It's rail thin, impossibly fast, and darn near impossible to hit with projectiles. So if you want to bring a firearm, do that by bringing a firearm with a widespread shot. So maybe a shotgun?
Yeah.
Because then you would have more of a chance to hit it, and you might maim it or slow it down.
Get some buckshot.
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose other guns are okay, but I don't know. Also, armor yourself. Now, clearly ballistics armor is basically pointless since it doesn't shoot anything. But wear protective gear nonetheless. And be sure to take some decent walkie-talkies that have a good range for you and your team in case you get separated and you can communicate. Now, even though Siren Head can disrupt the signal of walkies, like I said, you can actually use that to your advantage and use the disruptions to help triangulate its location.
Ah, okay. Using its own powers against it.
Right. And step 3, you're gonna need to use some bait. As in human bait. You're gonna need to select one of your own to go first. Preferably about 30 to 50 feet ahead of you and the rest of your team. And if you have the time beforehand, set up traps. I mean, bear traps, bike pits, whatever you can think of that's gonna be effective in slowing that thing down. While it's slowed, swarm it. And when you swarm it, you and your entire team are going to unload on it. And if Siren Head runs from you, if it can manage to run from you, you can give chase and keep unloading until it's hopefully dead. But that is the best chance that the infographic show has given us.
So, I have an idea.
Okay.
And by no means am I condoning anyone to take their own life.
Okay.
But in this hypothetical means of taking out Siren Head, if you had to, that the person that's going to be chosen as the bait, for them to wear some form of explosive device on them, I know it's...
That's an extreme.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's an extreme.
I mean, luckily these are fictional people we're discussing.
Yeah.
Because this is a fictional character. I get where you're going with this. So when it swallows you whole, you just
like have
blow it up from the inside.
Yeah, like have one of your teammates with the detonator.
Okay, well what about this? Why don't you just get a corpse from a morgue, set it up like a scarecrow, and have a detonation device attached to that? They're already dead.
That's not a bad idea. I'm just wondering if would Siren Head be dumb enough to fall for that.
I mean, possibly if it was a freshly dead corpse and if you and your friends walked around it and maybe had a real person behind it puppet hearing it. I don't know. This is a fictional world. I mean, we're just spitballing ideas here. I mean,
by all means, if you can get the dummy corpse to work.
I would rather do that first than have a live person be swallowed by Siren Head. And we don't even know if it swallows them. We don't know if it eats them for sustenance or not. What if it's not hungry and just wants to kill? Then you can't blow it up from the inside. What then?
Well, I mean, even if you don't blow it up from the inside, like if it has, if it snatches you up by with one of its arms, at least you take out one of its mobilities.
Okay. But I had an idea. Yes. Okay, we're talking about having an army, a small army of 10 plus people.
Yes. Yeah?
Okay, you have one person going ahead of you as bait. Why is someone not up in a tree with a sniper rifle and or a rocket launcher?
But what if he goes after the one that is sitting there on his own?
It wouldn't be sitting there on its own. If you have a big army, let's say you have an army of 20. Then you have one person go ahead of you, and you have 9 people to back that person up. Then you have 9 other people hiding close by in the tree.
Yeah.
Also, if you're in an actual tree, how is it going to detect that you're there? It doesn't have eyeballs. If you're super quiet, and this is just hypothetical.
Yeah.
It's not real.
My biggest concern is, because you don't know exactly where he is, what if you're that sniper thinking you're climbing a tree and you accidentally climb up Siren Head?
I don't think you can climb up Siren Head. It doesn't have branches. You're not going to mistake that for a tree.
That's true. But man, that would suck.
That would suck, but how are you going to climb it? It doesn't have branches for you to grab onto to climb it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would you kill it? I would shoot a rocket launcher right into a speaker, get up real high somewhere. Maybe a guard tower. If you're in a forest, do you know what there are? Rangers. There's forest rangers. There's guard towers for forest rangers. You become a forest ranger. You climb up in the guard tower. You keep your rocket launcher with you at all times. And then when you hear the siren, you find it. You have your superpower post-apocalypse binoculars. You zoom on in. You hone in on it. You take your rocket launcher and you pull right into its speaker mouth and blow it up.
Now, I have a question.
I probably don't have an answer, but we'll pretend I do.
Does Siren Head emit body heat?
I don't know. You're thinking heat sensors.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, maybe. If it's a mummified corpse, it probably doesn't have blood rushing through it, though. Probably doesn't have blood running through it, I mean. So I'm gonna guess not. Unless there's electrical current inside of its wiring. But I don't think there is, because it also says that EMFs will not work on it.
Okay.
Because the majority of its body is made of organic material. And the only metal is its sirens. Or speakers.
So I'm trying to think, what if there's something more than its lack of wanting to hunt in crowded streets? Not only because it doesn't want to handle crowds, but if there's something about
electricity, high concentrations of electricity.
Yeah, that high concentration of noise.
Maybe
its own noises are canceled out from the loudness of the busy streets of the city.
I mean, that's possible, because if the city's noisy, how can you perceive a specific noise like that?
Right.
However, it is a siren, so I guess it could sound like a tornado warning or whatever. I just don't think it could take on that many people.
Definitely. I definitely believe it's not equipped to handle large groups.
But it's also not equipped for a couple of other things, and I'm right here at the end of it, but I just had a thought, okay? Siren Head has never been found in hot or humid places, even though it can handle hazardous weather, such as snow, rain, all of that, anything that happens in a forest it can handle, but it doesn't handle hot or humid places. So you're probably not going to find it in a desert. Also, it has never been seen in lands considered holy, like Israel or Egypt, and it has never been found in or near holy places like churches, synagogues, mosques, etc., etc. So, thinking like a D&D player. Holy water.
Okay.
Thinking like a cleric, okay? You take your Bible, you take your holy water, you take a squirt gun full of holy water. And I'm not talking about like a little squirt pistol. I mean like a super soaker.
Right.
If it avoids like a fire holy truck. Places. Right. If it avoids holy places, it may have an aversion to holy symbols and markings and artifacts.
Okay, I see where you're going.
So what if you and your team become super religious overnight, if you're not already, and you just bring all of the holy artifacts? You get a team of really religious people from each faction of religion. You have a priest.
You got the Pope.
Yeah, we'll get the Pope. Yes. We'll get religious leaders of all the different religions. We'll have them bring all of their artifacts together and just bombard Siren Head with it and send it back to the other dimension from whence it came.
Now, is it from another dimension?
Possibly. I mean, it doesn't seem very natural.
Valid.
Are you ready to move on to Cartoon Cat?
Yes.
Okay, because we've talked about Siren Head for a bit now. So, Cartoon Cat, this thing is also a freak of nature, but honestly, can we expect anything less from Master of Horror Trevor Henderson?
Nope.
I was about to say, the answer is no, Aaron. It's no. This freakish creature surfaced in 2018 as well in a Twitter post by Henderson. That's usually where they all surface, on Twitter. It's been described as, quote, a desiccated fusion of Mickey Mouse and Felix the Cat.
That sounds right.
Yes. End quote, by the way. Photographic evidence shows that Cartoon Cat has a maw which is constantly leaking blood and viscera. Ew. It has large, soulless eyes that bulge out of its head that's covered in reflective hose rubber / black fur. The head, not the eyes. And considering that it's literally called Cartoon Cat, and given its description, it probably isn't a surprise that Cartoon Cat is also wearing gloves. And these gloves are said to have a distinctive but unidentified pattern. Kind of like Mark Fishbach's white suit with Unisonus.
Huh. I didn't know it had like a pattern on its hands.
That's what the website said.
That's neat.
Yep. It is said to be thoroughly ravenous and frightening in appearance. Quote unquote. Cartoon Cat is said to avoid anyone operating recording devices. Not entirely, but say you're in a group and you're the one operating a camera. It's going to take out all the other targets before it takes out you. So if you have a recording device on, you might actually make it out alive. That's what I'm gathering.
So get your GoPro.
Or your Panasonic.
Yeah.
You know, whatever works. Whatever works. And what makes this thing so dangerous is that it adheres to cartoon physics. While its victims, human beings like you and myself and Aaron over here, we still have to adhere to the physics of our world. Which means that Cartoon Cat has way more advantages than we do. It can change its appearance, growing and shrinking at will. It cannot be physically destroyed permanently. Literally anything that a cartoon can do, think Looney Tunes here, this creature can also do. Cartoon Cat's origins are unknown. But some chunks of its backstory are that his creator, not meaning Trevor, had died. And possibly either his spirit came back to become Cartoon Cat, or after his death, Cartoon Cat kind of came to life on its own.
That's cool.
If Cartoon Cat is the spirit of its creator, though, isn't it basically a cartoon version of the Chucky doll from Child's Play? But scarier.
Also, that just kind of goes to show you like what type of person Cartoon Cat's creator and its lore is.
I mean, you're not wrong, sir. The image that preceded Cartoon Cat was posted on August 4th, 2018, and in the image you can see a large being that resembles a black and white rubber hose cartoon. Now, just as a side note, they're called rubber hose cartoons because in that era of animation, say like the 1930s, the creatures didn't seem to have arm and leg bones. And by creatures, I mean, you know, the cartoons. But rather, their limbs resembled rubber hoses with their movement. you know how noodly they used to be? Think yeah. Steamboat Willie and all of that.
Very wiggly limbs.
Right. So they resembled a rubber hose. That's why it's called a rubber hose cartoon.
Okay. That's a little fun fact.
But in the first image that was released, the creature, which was not yet cartoon cat, sits in an abandoned building and leers at the camera from around a door frame.
Oh, no.
Right? What sets this apart from the actual cartoon cat, though, is that the shape of its head seems to either be a dog or more mouse-shaped. But the image was captioned with this, quote, "They're just like your favorite cartoon," end quote. And I just pay attention to that sentence because Henderson used the word they.
I do know that cartoon cat can morph into cartoon dog.
But the fact that that Henderson used the word they indicates that there is more than one. Or there are more than one of these things. Not it's just like your favorite cartoon, referring to one thing. They, as in a group, are just like your favorite cartoon.
That is even more terrifying.
Right? Then 6 days later, after the first image, another image was released with the caption, quote, "What they found in the dirt mall," end quote. This image was of an abandoned shopping mall with a full body view of cartoon cat walking toward the camera with an evil wide-eyed grin. And more on the dirt mall thing in a bit. Then 5 days after that, yet another image was released with a caption, quote, "All the classics are coming back," end quote. It was a photo of cartoon cat standing in the middle of a crossroads at night. The image appears to have been taken from inside a vehicle, and the headlights are what illuminates the cartoon cat's arms and legs. But that is about all you can see of cartoon cat in this image because this creature is rather tall. I mean, it's not a siren head 40 feet tall, but it's taller than normal people.
Right. He's definitely not short.
Right.
Unless he chooses to be.
I mean, I guess it could choose to be, but it's never chosen to be from my understanding. Then a week after that, on August 22nd, a fourth image surfaced with the caption, "For you, comma, Anon," which I guess is short for anonymous. It was yet another full-body image of the cat standing in front of an abandoned building with its whole body bending and swaying, and its mouth was wide open. Now, in this image, cartoon cat's feet are missing because I guess it does that. Its feet just appear and disappear at will. It's like if the Cheshire Cat and Felix the Cat had a baby that was also somehow spawned with Satan. And again, on September 26th of 2018, an image of cartoon cat was posted. Only this time, it was standing in someone's home.
Oh, no.
And in this image, it was actually smaller than its usual depictions, but it was still clearly bigger than a person. But you can also see that its teeth were much larger and its gums looked diseased. Gross. But the fact that it has diseased-looking gums could explain why its teeth always have blood on them.
Yeah, it's just
maybe not from eating people necessarily, but its own self.
Very bad oral hygiene.
I mean, it's a cat. Do you really expect it to floss?
No.
And on October 10th, 2018, Cartoon Cat Fact Sheet was released with a close-up of the cat reaching toward the viewer. Now, the cat has a huge grin on its face. The image highlights its yellow teeth, which are dripping with blood. And like I said, its diseased gums could explain why it's got a bloody mouth all the time. Or, you know, it could have just eaten something raw.
Yeah.
Ew. Sorry if you're on your second slice of ham while I'm talking about this, guys. The text that accompanied this image was, quote, "often found in redacted, abandoned redacted, comma, redacted show from 1939, comma, incredibly cruel, comma, and is thought to be redacted." All of these are separate quotes.
Right.
Anytime I say comma, just expect another quote in quote. So that post gave us nothing except maybe that it's from a show from 1939. So we know about how long it's been around because it's clearly modeled after that era of animation.
Sure.
Now, Trevor has said on his Tumblr that Cartoon Cat is the most dangerous monster in his collection, and that it is so dangerous, other monsters tend to avoid the dirt mall that it sometimes resides in, quote, if they know what's good for them, end quote.
Oh, geez.
And if you find yourself asking why it's the most dangerous, well, Trevor's answer does sum it up nicely. Quote, unchecked limitations, end quote. Basically, this thing is capable of anything and everything, because it literally defies the laws of physics.
Because like you said, it follows quote-unquote cartoon
physics,
physics rather than our own mortal world of physics that we are confined to.
Right. Trevor has literally said that Cartoon Cat is completely malleable, and because of its ability to defy the laws of physics, it's stronger than most of his other monsters as well. At least that was Trevor's opinion. I don't know where he stands as of 2020. Because this year, he birthed a newer character called the Man with the Upside Down Face. And because of this character, people beg to differ with Trevor's original statement. Because Cartoon Cat is still really stinking dangerous, but as I'll get more into later, Cartoon Cat really only attacks and kidnaps people when they're in or near his lair, while the man with the upside down face kills for straight up pleasure.
Oh.
So back to the mall photo. According to the video on the infographic show that I watched, which further explained the mall, in fall of 1995, two kids named Kyle Ellis and Johnny Rogan went to an abandoned mall that was responsible for some unexplained disappearances. The kids thought, what better way to prove their bravery than to go explore the mall and get some photographic evidence. Show everybody how brave they are and how big and bad they are, right?
Yeah.
So they packed up two flashlights, some spare batteries, a Polaroid camera that Kyle stole from his mom, and a, wait for it, revolver that Johnny stole from his dad. Totally normal things. Yeah, let's take a gun to a mall. That makes sense. It's abandoned. It seems like the perfect place to have a gun. And that was sarcasm.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to explain because there's always going to be that one person who's like, was she being serious? Is she really that stupid? But Johnny's reasoning for taking the gun is if there were some squatters in the mall that happened to get violent because reasons, at least they would be able to defend themselves.
I mean, when you put it that way, I mean, that does make a lot of sense.
True, but these children were underage, had no concealed carry, did not have any gun training. That's just dangerous.
Oh, yeah, that's way more dangerous.
But the reasoning is kind of sound, though. I will give you that. So the boys wound up sneaking into the mall through a broken back entrance. And their plan was to get in, get some photos of abandoned stores to prove they were there and whatnot, and get out. And of course, since it was abandoned, it was completely dark inside. There was no electricity. But the camera had a flash, and of course they had the flashlights. And because the camera had a flash, they were able to get some photos. Everything's on the up and up with this whole plan, right? Johnny thought he could see shadows moving whenever the camera flashed, but they just kind of thought it was a trick of the light or whatnot. Although Johnny should have listened to his instincts. Then they came across an abandoned arcade. Even though there was no power and the games did not work, they still had lockboxes on them that held quarters from years gone by. And, I mean, what teenage boy doesn't want a little extra cash on hand, right? So Johnny tried to get the lockboxes open, or at least one of them. And Kyle took a photo of Johnny in the dark trying to open the box, and when the image finally developed, and keep in mind it's a Polaroid, so it's like an instant development. Well, not instant, but pretty instant compared to taking it to have it developed at, say, Walgreens, right?
Yeah.
So when it developed, Kyle saw it. Cartoon Cat. It, at one point, had even reached for Johnny, and Johnny was completely unaware of all of this, but Kyle saw it, and when he blinked, the cat was gone. So maybe it was just a trick, and
his mind was,
you know, playing tricks on him. But Kyle wasn't about to take that risk, so he grabs Johnny before Johnny could get the lockbox open, and he booked it. Now, Johnny was a little bit ticked off because he was so close to getting those quarters, But when Kyle stopped for a second to show Johnny the photo, Johnny realized that they were in danger and they needed to get out. They thought they were in the clear, right? But what does a cat do? It plays with its prey. And that's all Cartoon Cat was doing. So when Cartoon Cat appeared in front of them, Johnny pulled out the gun and he fired off some shots. He missed the first couple of times, as you do, especially when you're untrained and you're scared out of your wits. But he did manage to hit with some of the shots. But here's the thing. Those bullets did nothing. Why? He's a cartoon. Cartoon Cat stretched out its arms toward Johnny again. And before Johnny could even scream, it grabbed him, lifted him into the air, swung its jaw open, and swallowed Johnny whole. Kyle was standing there absolutely petrified, but something about seeing Johnny sliding down Cartoon Cat's gullet just snapped him out of it. Kyle took the chance to run, but somewhere along the way, he dropped the camera, so no evidence, right? He made it outside, but the cat still pursued. Thankfully, Cartoon Cat does not stray too far from its lair, and Kyle was able to get away, but not before losing his best friend.
So, two things.
Sure.
Cartoon Cat doesn't seem to be extremely fast, just because a teenager was able to run fast enough.
I think he got enough of a head start. Cartoon Cat is actually wickedly fast. If you watch a cartoon, say Looney Tunes, and you see them winding up their legs to book it, and it's just like their legs turn into wheels because they're moving so fast, Cartoon Cat can do that.
Oh. So
it feels more like Cartoon Cat just wanted to get people away from its prey, or away from its lair.
And so it doesn't hunt or come after you beyond its lair.
It doesn't go out to hunt.
Okay. So,
or at least it doesn't seem to.
Okay. And also, what's so special about that maw to Cartoon Cat?
That's a really good question. I couldn't find anything out about that.
Like, what keeps it so bound to that place? Is it protecting something?
You know, that's a good question. I'm telling you right now, Matt Pat needs to do a game theory. Not a game theory. Game theory, film theory, whatever. He needs to do a theory on all of this. I don't know if he has or not. Maybe he has. He's probably done a Siren Head one because there are games, but what about the other ones? Yeah. They need good theories too. But another encounter says, quote, during the hike, I don't know what hike this is, but this was just an excerpt from something. During the hike, we heard strange music, like it came from a jukebox. We decided to go to the sound, but we regretted it when we saw this tall, black, cartoon-like figure, end quote. So even though it doesn't seem to hunt per se, its lairs seem to change, I'm assuming, because whoever said this clearly got away from the cat, right?
Right.
He was able to recount his tale of events. But it doesn't seem like it goes out on the prowl.
Right.
What?
I was just trying to think. Cartoon Cat's a lot less predictable. I mean, beyond it wanting to hang out at its lair, but at the same time, if it gets a weird urge to go beyond it, it's not unfathomable to find it randomly.
Like, but what?
Like, if it so chose to leave its lair, it can. It's not bound to its lair.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I guess it can even change its lairs.
Where it hangs out.
But regardless of its whole lair thing, we can garner a lot of information from these two tales. For one, the short excerpt that I just read, they heard strange music like it came from a jukebox. So I'm assuming that it also makes Foley sounds and cartoon music that goes along with cartoony shenanigans, right?
So it has its own weird audio ability.
Soundtrack?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess.
Almost kind of like Siren Head makes his own weird noises as well.
Yeah, I guess so. And then from the whole thing about the mall, we know that Cartoon Cat eats its prey. It doesn't just grab them up and they disappear without a trace. We know for a fact that it eats its prey. Fun.
Now, does he chew or does he
just... It swallow Johnny whole.
Okay, so almost like a snake just...
Yeah, that's why I said it opened its jaw and swallowed Johnny whole. So I guess, yeah. Because cartoon cat's not an actual cat, it doesn't go by the physics of a cat.
Right. So that also leads to the same question where you had brought up, does Siren Head get any nourishment from devouring whatever he catches?
Does the cat?
Yeah.
And here's my thing. Does it attack people because it's protective of its territory? Does it attack people to teach them a lesson? Does it attack people to nourish itself?
Or does it attack sheerly because it's a psycho sadistic creature?
Right.
And just gets off on...
I know Trevor Henderson will never listen to this, but dude, I need answers.
Yeah.
Like, his art is amazing, but I need some serious, solid backstory for these characters.
I know, right?
I think it's because we've been playing D&D so much that everything and everyone has a backstory, and in my head, it has to have a backstory.
Like, what makes this thing tick?
But here's the thing. There's no solid backstory for any of these characters, and they're still really good characters. They are solid horror creatures.
Yeah.
So, good on him.
And I think that's, you know, as much as we want to know more about them, I think that's what really drives their uniqueness, and to me, like, what makes them so cool is...
the mystery about them. Yeah.
And
the ability that we can theorize, and we can plot and plan. Kind of like the whole zombie apocalypse thing. We don't know if a zombie apocalypse would ever actually happen. We don't know how it would start, what would cause it. We don't know if it would be a pandemic in 2020. We don't know if it would be... a
cordyceps.
Spore. Yeah, a spore in the air, exactly. We can
a
still
T-virus.
Theorize as to how it could happen. We can theorize how we would survive it. And, you know, even though we don't have a full solid backstory for a legit zombie apocalypse, we can still let our imaginations wander. And I think that's what makes these characters so good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because there's really not a lot known about zombies except, oh, they eat you.
Yeah.
And they spread their disease. That's about all we know, though. Zombies don't have a solid backstory, except main zombies and that were once human in stories, but that's not a zombie backstory, that's a human backstory.
Yeah.
And we don't know why zombies exist. I mean, we know how the stories came about in the sense of, oh, the pufferfish.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Cartoon Cat. A couple things that we know is that it is humanoid, obviously. It is 9 to 10 feet tall. And, of course, it doesn't look like an actual cat. It's been in our world for at least 81 years because it first appeared in at least 1939. Sorry, I can't English. It wouldn't be an episode if I didn't say I can't English at least once. It's also aware of the moral implications of its actions and can theoretically take on any cartoon form, which basically means that it can become whatever the perceiver thinks of it as. So theoretically, Cartoon Cat could turn into SpongeBob or Homer Simpson.
That is mortifying to think
about. Or Fred Flintstone. Is it, though? Because here's the thing. Homer Simpson, if it were to turn into Homer Simpson, I want to theorize here before we get into the infographics show's list of ways to survive this sucker. Bad things happen to Homer all the time. I mean, granted, Homer never seems to die unless it's a Treehouse of Horror.
Right.
But
even then, he's
Homer's not malicious.
Back. Yeah.
Or malevolent. But he suffers a lot of damage.
Now,
I think we could take on a Homer Simpson.
So, what you're saying is when Cartoon Cat changes into another quote-unquote cartoon...
I don't know that it necessarily becomes said cartoon because I don't know of a Felix the Cat that, you know, eats people.
Yeah.
So, I guess it would just become a Homer Simpson that eats people. Never mind, I take it all back.
Okay, because see, that was going to be my question. Yeah. Like, does it take on its persona in its, I guess, in its own cartoon world, its quirks and luck?
I guess. I don't know. But now all I can think of is a Cartoon Cat version of SpongeBob. Ooh.
And what's really scary to
think... Oh, that laugh, though.
What's really scary to think of is... how far into cartoons can this thing go? Like, does it consider anime?
Oh, that's a good question. If it could become an anime character, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
For instance, if it became Goku.
Oh my god.
Kamehameha. Done.
Yeah.
You're dead. You're gone. I mean, I don't think there would be anything left of you for it to eat. So it might not, but...
Or like One Punch Man and just boom, you just explode.
And here's the question, because if it can become Homer Simpson, Homer Simpson's animation, or even anime, their animation typically isn't rubber hose animation. So their limbs function like they have bones.
Right.
Would Cartoon Cat then function like it had bones in its arms and legs? Would it be able to still stretch its arms out to grab you? Because that could give you an advantage. If it can't reach that far to grab you, you might be able to get away. Does it adhere to that animation world's physics? How does that work?
Or would it just be smart enough to stick to cartoons that have that capability?
I mean, maybe, but apparently Cartoon Cat can actually only can turn into what you, the victim, perceives it as. So if you're thinking, this is theoretically, of course, if you're thinking Homer Simpson, it could and would turn into Homer Simpson. It's kind of like a Pennywise complex. How Pennywise the Clown turns into your biggest fear.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It is what you perceive. Because the creature in it is not always Pennywise the Clown, right?
Right.
It turns into whatever your biggest fear is.
Sure, sure. Okay. So, what you're saying is, if you're mentally aware enough of what your imagination is capable of,
then wouldn't you have full control over it? Wouldn't you be able to manipulate it into a character that has no real abilities and therefore you could get away, no problem?
That's also a very good question.
And if it can turn into an anime character, then it would and could die. Because there are plenty of anime characters that die.
Valid.
But anyway, let's talk about how to kill it.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, as far as we know, we can't. Especially when it's a cat. Because not only does it have the whole nine lives thing, it's a cartoon cat. So it has pretty much infinite lives at the same time. But the infographic show did give us a nice list of ways that we could slow it down and hopefully manage to escape from this dirt mall. You ready?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Number one, keep your mind focused on it being Cartoon Cat. Don't let your mind wander. Don't let it turn into something else, because remember that it's bound by its victim's perception. Two, when you do manage to slow it down, this is just, I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but when you manage to slow it down, do not stick around to see what happens, because it's gonna come back. You only bought yourself a couple of seconds, so keep running. Never stand still. Number three, grab your phone. You aren't going to use it to make a call. You're going to pull up YouTube or Spotify or whatever, or hopefully you have a sound bite on your phone, of a big dog barking. And make sure that the sound is as vicious as possible and that your volume is all the way up. Because logically, the next animal up on the food chain is a dog.
Right.
Not literal food chain, but a cat's biggest fear, the step up from a cat would be a dog with ferociousness, right? I mean, that's how we're always shown in old cartoons. Cats are afraid of dogs, the end. So what you're going to do is when you play this, you're going to scare the cat. And because it's a cartoon cat, of course, it's going to jump. And it's going to leave a cartoon cat-sized hole, shaped hole, in the ceiling.
That makes sense.
You just bought yourself a few seconds. And also, just a side note, the cat likes multi-story buildings. So I would imagine that the taller the building, the higher the jump. And that might buy you a couple extra seconds, too.
That's just my theory. It has to go through all the ceilings.
That's just my guess. That was not in the infographic show. I mean, maybe it was, and maybe they said that, but I don't remember them saying that. I could be wrong. Who knows? Who knows? Also, you will be able to repeat this trick probably once more, twice more if you have a twist for the third time around. But cartoons adhere to the rule of three, which is just basically a comedy rule. You don't want to overdo a bit. So in order to keep it funny, you do it once, twice, third time with a twist, and no more for the episode. So keep the second time in your pocket for plan B as to using the dog bark. Number four, if you're in the old dirt mall and there's an escalator in the building, then pray like heck that there's some electricity going to the building somehow, some way. You're going to run up the escalator, flip that sucker on, and in cartoon physics, that cat will get tripped up, sucked in, and shredded in the escalator.
Oh,
also
yeah.
buying you a few seconds to book it. Number 5. Bring black paint or hope that there is an old paint store in the mall. This is going to take some actual critical thinking and a few seconds to do. This is probably not your best option by any means because you can't defy the laws of physics. But you're going to paint a rectangle or a door-shaped block on a wall. That's going to be, you know, a normal door size. But you can't run through that hole like how they do in the cartoons. You know how the person running goes through the hole and the person chasing smacks into the wall because they realize it's not a door?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to beat the person to run through the hole. So you're going to have to paint it in such a way that the cat's perception sees you running through the hole even though you're not really. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
You're going to need to paint it toward a corner or on a pillar, and you're going to need to run in such a way and duck behind it that it looks like you ran through. Cartoon cat will then run smack into it. My imagining of the whole thing is that it will fall onto its butt. It'll see stars and birds swirling around its head, and there's a few extra seconds for you.
I had an idea.
An anvil?
Not an anvil. Oh. But what if you paint a hole?
In the floor.
In the floor.
Oh, dude, that's good. And that takes way less time than a door-shaped hole.
But you stand on the side where Cartoon Cat is. And
you put a rug over it. And then when it's running towards you, you rip the rug away. And it sees itself over the hole. And then it looks down and it falls.
I didn't think
for
that
infinity.
Far.
Well, my thing is if it can see the hole, it can step around it. So you need
yeah.
to trick it at the last second.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, you jump over the hole, but somehow it falls into it.
Right. So the plan is that it doesn't see the hole to begin with. You put a rug over it, right, and just rip the rug away and it falls down into the hole.
Yeah.
Only problem with that is the paint would have to dry. But this is a cartoon world. We don't know. We don't know. It could dry fast. Who knows? And lastly is your Hail Mary plan. Now, there are two ways of going about this. If you come prepared, like if you hear about a cartoon cat dwelling in a mall and you need to take care of business, you're going to make a concoction. It's going to be acetone, turpentine, and benzene. And it's probably going to be very fumey and highly toxic, and you will probably pass out. So make sure you're in a well-ventilated area. And make sure that you're going to put it in a container that it's not going to eat through. Because what you're going to make is Judge Doom's The Dip from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Because, spoilers guys, that is how Judge Doom was getting rid of cartoons.
What?
Because it would dissolve the animation and they would be no more.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So if you can do that and splash it on it, it might actually erase Cartoon Cat permanently. That would probably be the only way you could actually kill it. At least temporarily buying you a couple minutes rather than a couple seconds. Or you can hope like heck that there's a salon in this old abandoned mall and that there are plenty of bottles of old nail polish remover, because old nail polish remover has what? Acetone. And you can open that bottle of nail polish remover, splash it, and hopefully weaken Cartoon Cat's integrity enough to slip away unscathed. Those are the only options I have for you right now. But the whole thing was good. The hole in the floor.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Or, you know, you run over the hole, but Cartoon Cat, because, I mean, I don't know if it has to follow the laws of...
It follows the laws of cartoons. Logically speaking, a creature over a black stain on the floor that looks like a hole,
like,
it would act like a hole.
Yeah, he would have to fall through it.
Especially if he looked down. So he would pause last second, you would point down. As soon as it looks down, it would fall. Now, if you were to lead it off a cliff somewhere, you would die first off. You would have to definitely be on your last legs of life to want to do that and have literally no hope left. But it would stay in the air until it realized that it was no longer on the ground.
So you definitely have to point out to it that
it was no longer on the ground, yes.
That's also kind of scary to think that as long as Cartoon Cat perceives its own reality as it's still moving up.
Or forward.
Yeah.
That it would continue to move forward. That, it would literally make an invisible bridge.
Yeah.
Wild. So how would you kill it? Or avoid it?
One, just definitely don't go to any abandoned mall.
Literally what I was going to say. I keep saying literally a lot in this episode. I'm so sorry. Exactly what I was going to say.
But if I had to be in a team of, because it would have to, I would, that would be the only way that you would sell me on
going. Yeah.
Is I would not go alone. That would be suicide.
True.
But if I had to, like, that was a mission that I had to do in my life, I would bring a good bit of that solution.
Mm-hmm. So you would come prepared?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just anything that I would know that could dissolve animation.
Sure.
Like, I don't know, maybe white out. That could be useful.
A giant eraser.
Yeah. Looking at some of the skits in some cartoons where they break the, is it the third wall or the fourth wall?
Fourth wall. That's when they speak to the audience. That's breaking the fourth wall.
But there's scenes where they're having a fight with the cartoonist and they start erasing.
That's not breaking the fourth wall.
Okay.
Breaking the fourth wall, again, is when they interact with the audience. That would be if they stopped, looked at the screen, speaking to you, the viewer.
Okay, so it would be still in the cartoon.
Right.
But they're, like, having a scene where they're arguing with the, quote-unquote, cartoonist, and they start erasing the scene and everything, and then they start erasing the cartoon itself.
Right. So, I mean, we could always try that. Also, here's my thing. With the little tidbit of information we were given earlier, that it will attack the entire group, but it will attack the person with the camcorder or the camera or whatever last. What if everyone had a camera? What if everyone was recording? How would it function?
Yeah. And why does it seem to be put off by being recorded?
I don't think it's put off by being recorded. I think it enjoys being recorded. That's why it stops that last.
Oh, okay. So it wants to be filmed.
I think so, because a cartoon is on TV. It's filmed.
Right.
To a degree, right?
Right.
So maybe that's why?
Hmm. You know, that gave me an idea of, like, a theory for it.
Okay. What's your theory?
What if the more it's recorded,
mm-hmm.
the more it's capable of existing. Say, going back to why it hangs out in that lair, that mall,
uh-huh.
when I had asked, is it protecting something? What if it's trying to preserve its original recording of itself?
What if it's somewhere in the mall?
Yeah.
That's a good question. What if you find the original recording of Cartoon Cat, or the original drawings of Cartoon Cat, the thing that made it come to life, and you destroy it? Wouldn't you essentially destroy Cartoon Cat forever and all eternity? Dude, that's a good theory.
Kind of like, what's that dude in the painting?
Dorian Gray?
Yeah, like a Dorian Gray complex.
Oh, that the painting actually holds Dorian's soul, basically.
Yeah.
Sure.
And like you said, the theory, one of the theories is that the creator's soul bound...
may have been what became Cartoon Cat.
Yeah.
And it was bound with... Okay, I see where you're going with that. So maybe the original artist's soul is bound with its original drawing, and that's what brought Cartoon Cat to life. So I would not only destroy the original drawing, I would also dig up the grave of the creator and burn his bones supernatural style.
I know, right?
Cover your bases and throw salt on everything.
But also, getting back to it wanting to be recorded,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it might use that as like a Horcrux kind of scenario.
Oh, okay.
So maybe destroy, like, every single piece of evidence, every single recording of it.
Yeah. I see where you're going with that.
Because I feel as long as it exists in some kind of media form,
that it can come back.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that. That's a really good thought path. that you've got going there. But I have a question.
Yes.
We've talked about Siren Head. We've talked about Cartoon Cat, completely separate. But what would happen if the two characters met?
Oh.
We know that they're both violent creatures, so a fight would more than likely ensue.
Definitely.
Probably for the sake of who gets the prey. So I want to know who you think would win in a fight to the death.
Ah, man.
Now, before you give me any answers, I am going to give you the benefits of both characters. Siren Head is literally 4 times the size of Cartoon Cat at Cartoon Cat's normal size. So technically, it does have size on its side, and it's wicked fast. But Cartoon Cat is highly intelligent and cunning, and it is immune to all physical damage, at least on a long-term basis. But both are really fast, not just Siren Head. And Siren Head has those speakers, which can be used to scare the cat. Remember I said the dog thing?
That's true.
And given the rule of three, like I said, it couldn't do the dog thing many times, but that doesn't mean that Siren Head couldn't do other sounds to misdirect and to scare Cartoon Cat.
That's a valid point. Also, what is Siren Head's limitation on physical strength?
We don't know. Because, again, no one survived to tell the tale.
Because, I'm just saying, if Siren Head is intelligent enough to understand cartoon logic, and he has enough strength to do this, and this is going to sound so funny because it sounds so funny in my head.
Oh, no.
If he, because I know he's fast, if he could just grab a hold of Cartoon Cat and use enough cartoon physics and...
But remember, Siren Head doesn't go by cartoon physics.
Right, but Cartoon Cat does.
Right.
I'm just saying if Siren Head was intelligent enough to know that Cartoon Cat follows these rules.
Which it probably isn't because I don't know that Siren Head has ever seen a cartoon.
That's valid.
Mm-hmm.
But if he were to yeet Cartoon Cat into
the atmosphere.
The atmosphere.
Out into space. Now here's the thing though, in cartoons, they always come back.
That's true.
From space. Usually with a giant impact into the ground. Like a crater.
Yeah.
Or like if a meteor were to make a crater, I mean. I really can't think of who would win.
Yeah. I mean, I want to root for Siren Head because I feel like he's kind of the underdog here because he does seem to follow more of our
laws.
Yeah.
Sure. Our laws of existence.
Yeah.
And Cartoon Cat is virtually immortal. And here's the thing. There's nothing saying that Siren Head can't be physically killed. But there are tons of things saying that Cartoon Cat can't be physically killed at all.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday I did a poll on Twitter. I just gave it a 24-hour block to see what people would say. And out of everyone that voted, Siren Head, I asked who they thought would win in a fight. Siren Head won with 56% and Cartoon Cat with 44%.
Really?
Yeah. Now, no one gave any explanation as to why. I didn't ask. I just wanted to know opinions.
Yeah.
But I can't think of a logical reason as to how Siren Head could win. Because, again, there's nothing saying that Siren Head can't physically be destroyed.
Yeah.
Which indicates that it probably can.
I mean, we don't know how far the limitations are for Siren Head.
Right.
He could have some super regenerating healing power where...
I mean, that's true. We don't know that it doesn't.
And we don't know exactly how ancient Siren Head is. I mean...
That's also true. I mean, the earliest encounter, quote-unquote, of Siren Head was 2016. Of course, it didn't make its debut into the world of horror until 2018, but the image is... air quoting, dated back to 2016.
Right.
The one from Yellowstone National Park. But Cartoon Cat has been hanging out since 1939 at the latest.
Right.
Now, either Siren Head has just been exceptionally good at hiding, or it's a newer creature, which also gives Cartoon Cat, in my opinion, the upper hand here because Cartoon Cat has had 81 years to be able to adapt to our world and to understand how people work and how the world works around it. And if you understand your environment, you can use it to your advantage in order to survive.
Right.
So if Siren Head only came to be when people first started reporting it in 2016, it hasn't had quite as long to adapt to this world.
Unless it's
been around longer.
I'm just wondering if Siren Head follows the rules of being or existing the same way as Pennywise.
Where it appears every so many decades?
That.
Or years? It's 27 years with it.
Or he's an ancient being that just exists for eons. And no one's really noticed him. Especially the fact because he's so good at disguising himself and blending in.
Okay.
And only until our modern era with ways of taking photos of him.
With people taking pictures or it didn't happen mentality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or he's some alien creature.
Well, you know that it is also an alien creature. So.
Oh, yeah.
In another way that it's a parallel to Stephen King's It. And that's what I was thinking. Maybe it is an alien creature. Maybe it is like Pennywise, though, and only comes back around every so many years. And that's why nobody's really noticing it. Because by the time it comes back around again, those that encountered it the last time have either forgotten about it, have been so traumatized that they don't talk about it, or they're dead.
Exactly.
So maybe, for all we know, it comes to our Earth, hunts people down for X amount of time, and then goes back to its home. And then by the time it gets hungry for humans again, or whatever it does with people, the people who first saw it, or who last saw it, should I say, are dead. They're gone from this Earth.
Because, I mean, like you mentioned, they don't really know what happens to the people it snatches up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could eat them, but there's no proof that Siren Head gets any nutritional value out of a human.
Right, and there's no definitive evidence that it actually eats its victims, other than we can assume because the victims are completely disappeared. But what if they're not eaten? What if they're sent to another dimension?
Yeah.
What if, because I like to play devil's advocate with cryptids here, what if Siren Head's actually the good guy and it finds people and it thinks, hey, this person seems like a good human. They could benefit living in my parallel universe of paradise. And it just poof.
Or kind of like,
what if Siren Head's the good guy?
Or I was thinking also to the degree of one of those things from Doctor Who.
The silence.
Not the silence. The Weeping Angels.
Oh, the Weeping Angels. Oh, yeah. Or they kill you by sending you to another time. What if it does that?
Because we don't really know what it does to people. You're right.
We just assume that it's malicious because it snatches people up and then poof, they're gone.
So.
And the games aren't necessarily canon because they're not by Trevor Henderson himself. So even though the games have corpses and it indicates that, oh, Siren Head's a big baddie and it comes after you and kills you. So on the flip side, it might not be that bad of a guy after all.
This is my... I am going to try to sell Siren Head.
Okay. As to who would win in a fight or just... Okay.
As who would win in a fight.
Okay.
Because Cartoon Cat, yes, it has its cartoon logic physics on its side.
Sure.
But that also means it is bound to some kind of logic.
Yeah.
And we know what its intentions are, what it typically goes for just for the kill. It just kills.
Sure, yeah.
But on the flip side, Siren Head, we don't know exactly what he does when he gets a hold of you. So he could very well
just puff you to another dimension. It could be a benevolent dimension.
Yeah.
Or a decade where it thinks you would be most happy.
Yeah. Or he just gets a hold of you and he just sends you to some demiplane of non-existence, just floating around in the void.
And you're just kind of in stasis.
Yeah.
Until it summons you back decades later.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. You know what? I think I'm going to flip teams. Because even though there's no proof that we can't kill Siren Head, as I've said twice already, it also might still be immortal. Right?
Right.
We might not be able to actually destroy this thing. If we can't destroy it. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, because no one's ever existed long enough to
Kill it. So,
yeah, or inflict any wounds to it.
So we can assume that this thing or this family of things is immortal. Let's just pretend that it is for a minute. Then Cartoon Cat and Siren Head are on the same playing field. They can't technically kill one another. But Siren Head, if what you're saying is true and it can poof something to another dimension, or if it treats its victims as a weeping angel would treat its victims in Doctor Who, it could poof Cartoon Cat. All Cartoon Cat could do is scratch at it and try to eat it and whatnot, right?
Right.
But Siren Head could poof it to another dimension and at least make it not our problem anymore.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, clearly that whole theory of the alternate dimension thing is just something we thought of. It's not anything that's been talked about online that I could find, but now I've just thoroughly convinced myself that it's just another Mothman. It's just a soft boy who wants us to be happy and doesn't want us to live in this miserable nightmare of 2016 and beyond.
There you go.
There we go. Maybe that's why it appeared first in 2016. Because 2016 was the first craptacular year for virtually the whole world. And, I mean, it wasn't literally the first, but you get what I mean. Everybody complained about how bad 2016 was, and every year afterwards just been as awful as the year prior. So maybe it's just coming back, trying to find good people and send it to a whole other world to start a new human race of good people with no problems. This whole conversation about who would win in a fight got really derailed, but I like it. I like where this went. But, I mean, either way, regardless of who would win in a fight, it would take a very long time to achieve the outcome.
Yes.
I think we can fully agree to that, right? So we'll just let it be. You, dear listener, what are your opinions on the matter? Who do you think would win in a fight? I mean, clearly Twitter has spoken. They think that Siren Head would come out on top. And, you know, I was on Cartoon Cat's side for a minute until Aaron made a point that it could actually not be a bad guy. Siren Head, I mean, and now I'm switching teams here. So tell us what you think, because, I mean, we have Instagram. Just let us know. Just let us know. We also have Twitter. Go on there and be like, hey, I think this one would win. Or, screw both of them, I think this Trevor Henderson character is the best of all and the toughest of all and would win in any fight. Because your voice matters and we want to know what you think. Okay. So, do you want to hear about the nightmare fuel of 2020, besides the actual year of 2020?
Yes.
Okay. Because if 2020 wasn't bad enough with, you know, a pandemic, an election from the underworld, you know, all about waiting and all of the turmoil and stuff, and just everything falling apart around us, Trevor Henderson added to the nightmares. Back to the man with the upside down face. It's also known as the Upside Down Man and just the Man. You could look at him and go, you're the man. I mean, technically that's true. He's the man. The Upside Down Man loves to cause pain and death in order to feed off of negative emotions such as sadness, grief, and despair for sadistic purposes.
Mm.
The entity appears as an actual man with one very distinct difference. Its head is fully upside down. It wears this huge grin, and from my understanding, it cannot frown. And when I said his head is upside down, I mean completely upside down. As in, its mouth and chin are where its hair and forehead need to be. And its hair is where the chin meets, or is where the chin should be, and where the head meets the neck. It's really gruesome. I'm going to pull up a picture right now.
His hair is like his beard?
You know, I was thinking that. If the man with the upside down face grew a beard, he would have a head of hair, technically.
Yeah.
Huh.
And would essentially his nose be in the same... Oh.
I mean, his nose is technically in the same spot. It's just flipped upside down.
Oh my god. This does look like very...
Junji Ito, right?
Yeah.
In most images, the upside down man is seen wearing a gray suit, but that's probably because in most images, everything's in black and white. So, you know, you can't really tell what color the suit is. And pictures of the upside down man date back from the 1910s to the 1960s, according to Henderson. They first surfaced in January of 2020. You know what? That was the first indicator this year was going to go downhill real fast. When Henderson uploaded 3 images to social media. The images look perfectly normal until you take a closer look at the backgrounds. Here is image number 1.
Oh no.
The images look perfectly normal until you take a closer look at the backgrounds. That's where you're going to spot them.
Yeah.
In image number 1, there are people surrounding a crashed vehicle, and this vehicle looks like it's maybe from somewhere in the 1910s, 1920s.
Yeah, it got jacked up.
Yeah, it's a bad vehicle crash. And if you look through the car's windows, you can see the man looking right at the camera, smiling like a creep.
Will you be posting these?
I don't think I want to post them on our social media because they're not our images by any means. These completely belong to Trevor Henderson.
Right.
But I do want to link them.
Okay. We should definitely do that because you guys have to see this nightmare.
This is image number 2. And in image number 2, it's another crashed car. But this time it's not a crowd, it's just one man standing in front of the car. And inside the vehicle, that is where the man with the upside down face is found.
Seems to hang around cars an awful lot.
I'll get there. And then in image number 3, it's really hard to see him in this one. And it doesn't seem to be a tragic image like the first two, but if you look way in the back, on the right side, he's standing there, staring.
I spot him.
It was determined to be an image taken in Budapest, Hungary, so we can maybe determine that he's from that region. And because he appears in images mostly of tragic events where victims die, it was at first believed that he was supposed to be like a Grim Reaper type character. Oh, how wrong the people were. It was later revealed by Trevor, when he uploaded 3 more images, that his goal is to feed off those negative emotions, and he possibly tries to even cause these tragedies himself in order to garner as much negative emotion as possible. When the man is present at these events, he cannot be seen in person. So nobody that is surrounding these car crashes actually even know that he's there. Only we do. Because you can only see him in developed images. So I guess a Polaroid would come in handy. If you're ever at a bad event, just snap a Polaroid and let it come on out. Shake it until it's developed and then see if he's there.
Now, does he get picked up by recordings?
I don't know about recordings. The only thing he's ever actually shown up in are...
Photographs?
Photos, yes. Sorry, my brain went blank for a second.
Fine.
Henderson stated, quote, "His face is on wrong because he loves perverting the expectations of how a human is put together. He loves grief and pain from roadside accidents, but any awful feelings will do. He's an awful parasite, like a leech or a lamprey. He's physically there, we just can't see him, though."
That's really scary.
It is really scary. And since Trevor stated that, specifically, he likes pain and grief from roadside accidents, that's why you typically see him near, in, or around cars.
You know what he makes me think of?
What's that?
A yokai.
Okay.
Like
the one yokai from Yokai Watch where it fed off of negative emotions and it caused people to be negative?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure if there's an actual yokai like that, but there probably is. There's all kinds of yokai out there.
Yeah.
Now, it's speculated that the man even appeared where other monsters have killed people, or near where other monsters have killed people. And just a thought, but maybe these monsters kill people because the man is inciting rage inside these monsters to kill.
Oh, man, that would be so jacked up to see him, like, hanging around Cartoon Cat.
Yeah. See, what if he's the puppet master? Because it is said that he can turn arguments into violent fights and can cause even a sturdy tire to blow, leading to disaster. So I wouldn't put it past his capabilities to turn just average, abnormal creatures into violent killing machines.
I wonder if he would be like, because I know that we had discussed Cartoon Cat doesn't typically leave his lair, but you said in one
instance
that he got a hold of some hikers.
Well, hikers ran into him. We don't know if he ate the hikers or not.
So what if
the man with the upside down face incited the
inside
a Cartoon Cat to go hunting?
Yeah.
I mean, possibly. I like that we're able to do this episode right now because we haven't really gotten a chance to theorize a whole lot this season. And because all of this is fiction, we have a whole wide world and beyond to speculate about. And it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to let your mind actually wander and form all kinds of imagination and thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you're making up your own lore and...
Yeah, that's really fun. And I think we needed this because we've been doing a lot of heavy cases and stuff for the last while.
Yeah.
Now, Trevor recently released two more images that were taken hours before a brutal fire. And these two images are actually the first ones of the man that are not in black and white. However, from what I saw, the images are still very muted in color. So we can't really tell a whole lot about the finer detail.
Yeah.
Of what the man with the upside down face looks like. And it is said that the man has no remorse, he is a timeless being, and only exists in order to torment humanity. And Trevor has legitimately called this thing a bottom feeder. Which I guess it makes sense. It's a feeling leech. So what happens if you're able to, I don't know, laughing gas an entire community that it's found in? Would it starve to death? If nobody's feeling any negative emotion for an extended period of time, would this creature starve to death and therefore cease to exist?
That's a good question. Or would it be smart enough just to move along?
What if you could trap it? What if you put a bubble over a town? Does it just poof from one area to the next? Or does it actually have to trek places?
Yeah.
That's my big question. If it does have to trek places, that means you can trap that sucker. And if you put him in a location where there's no one to feed off of, or there was a way to keep everyone around him happy at all times. Even though this creature is timeless, it's living off of negative emotion. If there's no negative emotion to live off of, would it die?
That's a good question.
That is all we have today, folks. We hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving meal with us if you're in the States, and if not, we hope you enjoyed something delicious while you listened to us talk about the chaotic space that is Trevor Henderson's mind.
Yeah.
And I do want to be serious for just a minute, because I know we've had a lot of fun in this episode today, but I know that for some people, this is a hard day to get through. Whether it's toxic family, isolation because we're in a pandemic, or maybe it's your first Thanksgiving without a loved one. Just know that you are in our hearts and our minds today, and it may not mean a lot to you, but please do know that no matter your situation, you always have a home and a family with us at Crime and Theory. This is a judgment-free zone, and you are always going to be loved and accepted just as you are. And as hard as today may be, you are strong, brave, loving, and kind, and do not ever doubt that about yourself. You are going to make it. So if you're currently sitting around some toxic family today, just keep your earbuds in. We have plenty more episodes for you to listen to. Just hang out with us for a bit, okay? This is a safe space. I don't care if you think you're bothering us, because you're not. Send us a message. We will chit-chat with you, and we will keep you company on that Thanksgiving day. On this Thanksgiving day. So Aaron, do you have anything else you want to say before we go?
First off, I hope that everyone has the best Thanksgiving they could possibly have, and that
2020 will allow.
Yeah, that yeah. The best 2020 Thanksgiving that you could possibly have.
There we go.
Definitely, if you can, don't wander alone out in the woods.
Oh, that's a good idea. I mean, that's just common sense anyway, because, you know, you could get lost, and yeah. If people don't know where you are, you could die out there. In all sincerity, that happens.
And definitely don't go breaking into abandoned places, malls, whatever.
Oh, yeah, we don't condone that either. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But stay safe this week, guys. Maybe, I don't know, stock up on some nail polish remover just in case. I don't know. Also, you know, eat that second slice of pie if you want to. You've earned it.
Yeah, buddy. As hard as 2020 has been.
Yeah. We've all earned that second slice of pie.
Yeah. Calories definitely don't count on this Thanksgiving.
Nope. And as always, don't get haunted. We will see you guys next Thursday. Also, remember that we are getting very close to our season 2 finale. And we will be taking a break after December 10th. And we will see you guys again in 2021. So just mark your calendars. Find something else to fill the void while we're gone. We won't be fully gone, though. We'll still be on social, so it's fine.